Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trundy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. And you can have your saver calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Alarming new data reveals government infrastructure investment not keeping up with population growth in Queensland. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Bronwyn Clark, CEO of National Growth Areas Alliance. That's NGAA. And we have Bronwyn online. Bronwyn, good morning. How are you?
Very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm well, Bronwyn. Thank you very much for coming to the program. So alarming new data reveals government infrastructure investment not keeping up with population growth in Queensland. Leaving people to defend for themselves in all areas of life. Yeah, we've got the house, but then we don't have infrastructure around the housing. Just shed some light on this, please.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. It's about the fact that people need more than a house to live a good life. And what we're seeing right around all the capital cities of each state and increasingly in regional areas too is, you know, we're trying to build as many houses as we can as a country to meet this housing crisis. And what happens is the focus is just on the houses. But then people move in and find, you know, there's very little public transport. They haven't upgraded the roads. There might not even be, you know, sports facilities or cultural centres or anything else that people need to get on with life. Those things aren't planned and funded in the same time frame as people are moving in.
So in regard to a family or a person's social life, would you say dropping the ball was the town planners or the government communicating with the so-called investors, if that's the case?
Yeah. Look, the problem is there's probably a lot of people involved in that decision-making process.
Yes.
And so it does, you know, they do drop the ball. So we're calling on the federal government and we're going into an election period.
Yes.
So now's the time to ask
exactly
for what we want. So we're asking the federal government to think more sort of holistically about what communities need as they arrive in a new suburb. And, you know, what we found, you know, around Brisbane, for example, is that some areas, some new suburbs are built, and still 15, 20 years later, there's something like a 70% less access to any sports and leisure facilities, or there's 53% less access to health services.
Or transport, or schooling, or daycare, or shopping.
TAFE. Yep, absolutely. So we're sort of calling on the government to think of a new way of investing in these areas, and that is to look at this new suburb that's being built as an entire new community. And so you can't.
It's funny how you say that, Bronwyn. You say the government needs to look at a new way, Bronwyn, for crying out loud. This is the 21st century, and don't we? No one plans to fail. We just fail to plan. It's like they failed to plan. They failed to look at the vision for the future, for establishing developing area, a residential area, with no transport, with no schooling, with no shop. I mean, like, go figure. You would think in the 21st century.
I know. And the scary thing is, and why we think this is particularly urgent right now, is that, you know, we have this housing crisis and there's a plan to build 1.2 million new homes.
Well, there's a plan, but no plan in the plan.
Exactly. So if we don't fix the problem that's existing already, we're just going to, you know, keep doing the same thing and create bigger problems for people down the track.
Okay. And so with the new data that reveals the government infrastructure investment is not keeping up with population growth, need to go back to the drawing board? I mean, who do they converse to? Or like, for example, National Growth Areas Alliance, are you at the table when development is being talked about or a new residential area is being built? Like someone like yourselves, are you guys at the table?
Well, yeah, so we're a membership of councils. So a lot of those councils are at the table.
Yep.
But have limited authority.
Yeah, gotcha. Truthless tigers.
Limited resources, you know. Mm. So, you know, council can't afford to build a $100 million rec centre or those sorts of things. And so what we're saying is we've come up with a new framework that we did some research around, and that's around looking at a place and investing in that place and the people who live there.
Yeah.
So, so we're saying it starts at the top with the federal government.
Yep.
They need to sort of plan better of where the houses will go, how our population will grow, and then it comes down to states as well. So they need, we all need to be part of the conversation and the planning.
Well, of course, the government will make a decision from the top. And then they go into the state, would it be Queensland, New South Wales, what have you. Then they go into a city area or town area. So that's where the council have got to be involved. So you're looking at building distance. Well, hang on, we haven't got no transport over that way. We've got no schools in that area. The local council should be telling the so-called state before you go ahead with it. Sort of thing. There's got to be communication, both ways, you would think.
Well, I think there's a lot of communication, but perhaps not a lot of listening.
Okay. Yes, I did tell you. No, you didn't hear me.
Yeah. And so that's the frustrating part. That,
exactly.
You know, there are so many different people at the table. And from a local government, from a council perspective, they're not the decision makers a lot of the time on these big things like the public transport and the schools and things like that.
And Bronwyn, then you look at my people, First Nation people. I mean, we're behind the starting line from the get-go, so to speak. So if you're building, thank you for the new house, but how do I get my children to school now, sort of thing, you know what I mean? We got one car and my husband's working and I got no car, and can you help me out here, please? Thanks for the house, and they're sleeping well, but they got no education now. We've got no groceries, sort of thing.
And the really interesting thing, Jura, is that in the capital cities of Australia, the data shows that First Nations people are more represented in outer suburban areas that we represent.
That's a point
areas,
too, yes.
More represented there than the rest of the city.
Yes.
So different in regional areas, of course, but those outer suburban areas
don't have service as the city does.
Don't have service.
Yes, exactly.
We've got such an asset with so many young people. Like 54% of all babies born in Queensland last year were born in outer suburban areas.
Yeah, there you go. Spread the love. Hello, you know. So build services to where the people are. What you're saying is not keeping up with the population growth in Queensland is the statement here. Bronwyn, thank you for your yarn. You shed some light on it. Thank you. Government need to be listening. We're yarning here on National Talk Black, which goes across the country. Of course, government funded. Thank you very much. But also they can listen to our conversation. So they're listening, Bronwyn. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Beautiful yarn there. Bronwyn Clark, her name is, CEO of National Growth Areas Alliance, NGAA, and alarming new data reveals government infrastructure investment not keeping up with population growth in Queensland. Go figure, plan of a pack. We don't plan to fail, we'll just fail to plan. Well, government, if you're planning the attack and regarding building more houses, make sure there's infrastructure around the housing, around the residential area. Make sure there's schools there, there's transport there, there's shopping centres, if not small stores, convenience stores, whatever the case may be. So there it is. Have you seen Yana Strong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country, BBM, Bunbury Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Israeli Service. Yana Strong, your mob, National Talk Black.
Kid, running around with my friends, do what to them times where there were fights. And now I'm getting older and I wanna go home. I wanna go home. So take me home to Terry Islands. Life took me away from you. So take me home to Terry Islands. That's all that I wanna do. I wanna go. And a place where the love is near. And when my time comes by, gonna bury me back home. And that ain't no lie, and that ain't no lie. I'm gonna tell my kids, take me back to Terry Island where I live with the time.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
intense heat waves, glaciers melting to the sea, air pollution, too much waste, shaping destiny. The keepers of their cultural ways, ancient knowledge of the sea, protectors of their tribal land. Island family, forever and ever,
it will be
forever and ever,
their island
forever and ever.
At an unprecedented rate, we see glaciers and sea ice melting, causing sea levels to rise. Delay in global action will jeopardize the small amount of time we have left to secure our island life into the future. Gasamana!
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor, Tim, Trinity, Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong? Now, CDU, that's Charles Darwin University, to expand allied health services in Darwin. And Territorians will be able to access a greater variety of allied health services with the expansion of the Northern Territory's first and only professional supervised, student-delivered, multidisciplinary health centre. How fantastic is this? With that, we're going to catch up a yarn with Associate Professor Nicole O'Reilly, and she's CDU Head of School Allied Health Science. On the line, we have Associate Professor Nicole. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Talking about expansion, talking about delivering services and students front and centre, this is a great pathway.
It is a fantastic pathway. We're really excited. Charles Darwin University over the past few years has been increasing its allied health training opportunities for Territorians, but also we offer that to students all across Australia through a range of different ways that we provide our training. But what it has meant is we're now in a position to be able to provide services to Darwin through student-led clinics where our allied health therapists supervise our students in being able to provide and we provide placement opportunities, which then means we can provide these expanded services for Darwin community.
Yeah, so we're talking about a practical work while the students are studying and being supervised while delivering in the community.
Absolutely. So most or all of our allied health students are required to undertake what we call practice education,
yes,
which is where they go and practice being an audiologist or a speech pathologist under the supervision of the right professional people, so that they can practice those skills while they're still learning. So it helps them start to apply the theory into that practice space and makes them ready when they're graduating to be ready and willing to work with their clients.
And so new of its kind, this is, if you look at the simplicity of it all, you know, but very, very powerful. This could have happened years ago, but this is great that it's starting. And like I said, the simplicity of it all.
Yeah, look, it's great that it's starting now. And it's great that we've got the opportunity, I guess, that has kind of culminated through the growth of our allied health offerings to be in this position where we can absolutely provide this service to the Darwin community.
Yeah, look, fantastic, beautiful. And look, Charles Darwin also has appointed first clinic allied health services manager, Fiona Tipping. Just give us a bit of background with Fiona, thank you.
Yeah, so Fiona is an occupational therapist, but she has years of experience working across rural and remote Australia. Much of that time has been in the Northern Territory, but she has worked in other rural and remote locations in other states as well. She also has experience in policy and executive roles in NDIS-based providers.
Yes.
And so she brings with her that wealth of knowledge, but she's also been working as a lecturer here at Charles Darwin University for the past few years. Through this role, she's been able to combine her education skills and her clinical and executive and management skills to be able to build this clinic and be able to kind of bring all of those parts together.
Look, fantastic. And let's also talk about First Nation students. I mean, then itself becomes a strong platform and a support for our First Nation dealing with the community or being in this opportunity, especially working with First Nation patients or community as such, black on black. This would be a great pathway as well, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, and we're really looking forward to being able to continue to grow our First Nation students across our allied health programs. Being here in the Northern Territory, we understand how important it is to have the right people providing services. So we really want to be able to support our First Nations students to become the allied health professionals that their communities need and want. We have a range of ways that we're doing that.
Yes.
So we have a First Nations Pathways program that supports students to become familiar with academia and the university, and they have an opportunity to work with the First Nations student support team and a range of other people within the university to look at what their pathways might be through Charles Darwin University. As a dual sector university, we have the opportunity to support students through a range of VET programs all the way through to your higher education and your research opportunities as well. So we're really excited and we really want to support our First Nations students to grow into these roles, which we see is just really important for their community.
Look, and congratulations, Charles Darwin University, to expand allied health services in Darwin. This is fantastic. A great tool, a great vehicle as such. Great yarning with you. Thank you, Associate Professor Nicole. We'll be
Thank
in
you.
Touch, and big shout out to your team. And yeah, let's get it going. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Trevor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Delian Bufian, Associate Professor Nicole O'Reilly, CDU, Charles Darwin University, Head of School Allied Health Science. And we're talking about Territorians will be able to access greater variety of allied health services with the expansion of Northern Territory's first and only professional supervised, student delivered, multidisciplinary health centre. So it is hands on when you're talking about practical work while studying. That is the best medicine, part of my punt, but best tool for education. I think it's great. So, and great to see First Nation people front and centre as well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong? We're live here at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn Up with the ball you're on here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black.
For our children, we all walk together. To keep our children safe, strong, and connected to culture. Community organisations you trust are here to walk with you and can provide family wellbeing services for families and children of all ages. To find free and confidential support near you, search Family Wellbeing Services. Because when it comes to our children, we all walk together. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
What is greatness?
It's doing what makes you feel proud. What feels right for right now.
When you can study hands-on, all-in, practical, professional,
personal. When you can learn local and give back to your community, you define your greatness. Find support of teachers who are there for you at TAFE Queensland. Make great happen. RTO 0275.
Station sponsor.
It's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.
ni jamama sigona.
Hey, what you doing, your mom? It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong, you mob? Too deadly. Now I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Aunty Manya Andrews, who's delivered her second book, second children's book anyway. Bush Survival Schools is the name of it. We're going to catch up a yarn with her. We have Aunty Manya on the line. Aunty, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Very good morning to you. I'm very good.
Fantastic. And before we start, Aunty, let the mob know who your mob, where you from.
Yes, so my people are the Bardi people who live at the very tip of the Dampier Peninsula, just north of Broome in Western Australia, but I live on the east coast now.
Okay, thank you very much. Congratulations. Bush Survival Schools, this is your second children's book.
Yes.
You are an entrepreneur, a go-getter, fantastic, using book as a tool to educate, all children, but educate people of the world about our culture.
Yes, definitely. And starting with the very young, of course, because
yes,
that's where the greatest change happens.
So true.
And the quickest.
So yes. True. Your first book, what was the name of your first book, Auntie?
The first book is Ask Auntie Seasons.
Okay.
So it's an introduction to the idea of Indigenous seasons, but focusing just on my people's calendar, which is the Bardi people of Western Australia.
Okay, beautiful. And here we have your second book, Bush Survival Schools. So enlighten us, please. Give us a bit of background or what information we find in Bush Survival Schools.
Yeah, so it's letting young ones know about how First Nations peoples lived in the bush, the sorts of things we need to survive in the bush.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the underlying message is how to look after country.
Yes.
And to be respectful to country.
And when we're talking children's book, what ages are we talking at?
So I think that's about 7 to 10.
Yes. So this should be, in the libraries of all our primary schools across this country.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Great.
Yes. And you had illustrations by Charmaine Ledden-Lewis. Tell us a bit about Charmaine.
Yeah, she's a wonderful Bundjalung artist from New South Wales. And just too deadly, isn't she?
Her
beautiful images. Yes. She's a fantastic artist. So I'm glad she was on again for this project.
Look, you're becoming a real go-getter author. So with your first book, how long ago was that, Aunt?
Well, that was about this time last year.
Yeah, 12 months, so, okay.
Yeah, yep.
So the pressure's on. In 12 months' time, we'll have a third book out.
Yes, that's the idea.
That's the idea.
Yep. And I don't know what it'll be on yet.
Sure, but, there you go. Yeah, it would, with your ancestors with you, it will come to fruition.
Yes, it will.
And with your first book, tell us how that came about and what made you decide to become an author as such and using books as a tool, as a vehicle to educate people, if not children, but people of the world.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I happen to be on TikTok.
Oh, go girl.
As Ask Auntie.
Yes.
Where people can call in and ask Auntie any question about First Nations peoples.
Yes.
With no guilt, no blame, no shame. That's our motto.
Love it.
At Evolve Communities.
Mm.
And so the publishers, Hardy Grant, one of the people saw me on that and thought, oh, it would be great if Auntie could write for us. So they got in touch with me and said how much they loved watching me on TikTok.
Yes.
And said, oh, do you happen to write, by the way? And I said, yes, I do. And they said, would love for you to write some children's books. Are you interested? And I said, yes, most definitely.
All right,
and
yes.
So that's how it started, yeah.
Fantastic. So who are the people that called you, Auntie?
Who are the people? Oh, everybody.
Who called you for the initiation, for you writing a book?
Yes. So I extended the invitation to everybody in Australia. As I say, no guilt, no blame, no shame.
Yes.
And it's a way of educating mob out there about us.
Yes. Yeah. No, beautiful, fantastic. Auntie, you got so what's your family think of you being an author and second book and, yes, vision for the third book? Give me some feedback.
Hopefully I think they're proud.
Yes.
The great thing is I'm trying to preserve our culture, our language.
Yes.
And so I just see it as adding to that resources library for our mob.
Yes.
And also to encourage other First Nations people, you know, to get out there and write your books and share your language with the world. It's really important.
Well, Auntie, we are storytellers as First Nation people, and we tell our stories about our culture and what have you, whether it be through dance, song, books, now you've got books, rock art, whatever the case may be. So we're forever storytellers. So why not, hey?
Exactly. And since I wrote about seasons, you now start to see a lot of First Nations people saying, oh, that's great. In our culture, it's this way, and we call it we call the seasons this, and we have this many seasons. So it's really encouraged people to turn inward and look at what's so special about their mob and write about it.
Exactly. And when you look at a race that's been in existence for 60,000 years, we are professors in all fields, so we do have a lot of stories to tell and all avenues, whether it be season, whether it be hunting, whether it be trading, whether it be making vehicles in regards to canoes or what have you. We're survivors. We're still here, Auntie.
We absolutely are. And I did an interview last night with ABC Radio down in Melbourne.
Yes.
And the guy was saying, he said, I know it's a book for children, he said, but us adults can learn heaps too.
Yes.
And that's the wonderful response to it and to take too. So that knowledge there is for everyone, because you never know. You could be stuck out in a bush. You know, what are you going to do look after yourself? Yeah.
Exactly. Well, we are talking survival, and hence the name of the book, Bush Survival Skills. Arnie, thank you so very much. You are a true leader, inspirational you are. Congratulations with your second book, Auntie. And a big shout to Charmaine Lydd and Lewis, your illustrations. And looking forward to the third book, but the Bush Survival Skills, when does the book come out, Auntie?
So it comes out on the 3rd of December. It's published by Hardy Grant. And it should be available in any bookshop around Australia.
Beautiful. Thank you. And I think that'd be a good gift for Christmas.
A lovely gift for everyone. Yep.
My darling, you take care. All the best to you. And we'll yarn soon, Auntie Manya. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Trevor. All the best. And Nyirrkal Gorna. Go well.
Thank you, my dear. Beautiful yarn there, the Auntie Manya Andrews, her second children's book, Bush Survival Skills, out on the 3rd of December. A good Christmas gift for your young'uns and for your old'uns as well. Is there such a word, old'uns? Young'uns, old'uns? Fantastic. And look, she very passionate about sharing her culture and using books as the tool. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation. We're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbarrbip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. National Talk Black.